Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. We will not be long today because I have another meeting at 2 o'clock. And so pay attention. We're going to get as much in as we can. Easter, according to the Nicene Creed, part 14. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 743, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1108, since January the 1st, 2016. And by the grace of God, we will be wrapping this up. Hopefully tomorrow. And if not, we'll wrap it up on Monday, but the plan is for me to preach the Wednesday service as I normally do. We're in a long series praying through the Bible, and then other than on Saturday and Sunday and Monday, and Saturday and Sunday and Wednesday, I will be taking a break from everyday preaching. Have to do some traveling and some other things and get some rest and get geared up by the grace of God for our long extended almost 4 month preaching in over 100 messages in a row. So please remember that, and remember to pray for me as I preach in other places as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, and we're going to read a few of the verses here today, maybe not all of them. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul did not try to act like he was the first one to hear about the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, but we know that you're perfect, holy, mighty, almighty, and powerful, and that you can use a wretch like Paul, and you can use a wretch like me, and we thank you for that. For as Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And Lord, help us to have that same mentality. We don't deserve to be able to even call ourselves Christians, much less be in your service. It is a privilege, an honor and a joy, and help everyone here to understand that, and everyone out there to understand that fact. We're not doing you any favors. You did us the greatest favor of all time. And Lord, we're just doing our reasonable service, and yet we are still not profitable to you. So have mercy and grace upon such wretched people, undeserving people as we are. Help us to get off of our high horses, and have mercy upon us and forgive us of our sins as Christians, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness as you have promised, and empty us of ourselves and fill us afresh and anew. Crucify our flesh and help us to die daily, and fill us with the fullness and the life and the anointing and the fruit and the unction of the power of your Holy Spirit, for we cannot function without your unction. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, regarding 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, verses 1 through 11, Dr. John Gill said, by grace, Paul means the goodwill and free favor of God, from whence all the blessings of goodness arise and come from. And every last one of you in here and out there need to remember that. It's all by the grace of God. Charles Spurgeon said it's all of grace. And the people who understand that and who are dead to themselves, the flesh and the world, and who have allowed themselves to be crucified with Christ, these are they whom God uses the most, when they understand, like Paul, is all by grace. Amen, somebody. It's not by our ingenuity, it's not by our great minds, and even our great gifts that, by the way, God gave to us. It's all by the grace of God. Particularly such as qualify a person for the ministry. What qualifies men for the preaching of the gospel is not human learning. It's not your seminary education. And if it's a good Bible-based seminary, that's good. But I come from a group of Christians who called the seminary the cemetery where preachers go and die. And I believe many, many preachers who were red hot for God have gone to a seminary and they died there. And they have not been effective since. Nor is it by human learning from somebody's blog. We have too many pastors today who follow gurus just because they built two or three buildings and they got some folks, 2,000 or 3,000 folk coming to their church. We got hundreds, thousands of pastors who get their messages and their ideas and their methods from God, or rather from gurus, men, instead of God. And it's a tragedy. And they go off to their conferences thinking that this is going to be the one that's going to get our church going. And it doesn't work that way. You'll be better off getting everything you get from God, Pastor. Stop following somebody's blog and somebody and guru reading everything they read, doing everything they do. Start talking like them and other such foolishness. It's not by learning, nor natural grace, but peculiar gifts which lie in an understanding of the scriptures and the doctrines of the gospel, and in an aptitude to explain and teach them, to the edification of others, to the salvation of others. Most importantly, these gifts are not of nature nor acquired by art and industry. In the words of Charles Spurgeon, even with slender apparatus, you can get the job done. But are freely bestowed by God for the good of souls and the glory of Christ. Amen, somebody. And so today, my beloved, we are continuing our series, drawn today from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible. We have to emphasize that today, as I have told you. That was passed down from the early church all the way to us today. The Nicene Creed. You say, well, bless God, preacher, I'm a Baptist. We're not a creedal people. I'm a Baptist too, but I like some of these things that the other folk do. And we need a little bit of this. It's okay. It's okay. It might help you. It might help your church. Anyway, in this series, we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church. And as I believe Shirley Caesar used to sing, we need to get back to the old landmarks. How that we as Christians who are falling away from these truths ought to return to them, and how that the world ought to hear it so they can believe on Christ. By the way, I am telling you with something that so many of you have never heard, that, and that's what I've been saying in this whole series, that those witnesses, Mary Magdalene, Peter, John, the over 500 brethren, last of all, Paul, are part of the gospel. The eyewitness testimonies are part of the gospel. It shuts down all questions, all skeptics, all agnostics, all atheists. You cannot deny over 500 folk saying they saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Amen, somebody. That is undeniable. Now, regarding the development of creeds in the early church, Dr. Anthony Costello said, we can see that the early creeds themselves, and specifically the Nicene Creed, were essentially apologetical. They were designed to clarify truth claims and refute false claims. And they put it in such beautiful, succinct language that you can grab a hold of it. It has a rhythm to it. It has a cadence to it. And it encompasses all of the Word of God. And it's good, I believe, for Christians, be they Baptist or Presbyterian, to hide something like this in their lives and in their hearts, because it's based upon the Word of God. No, it's not equal to the Word of God. It's based upon the Word of God, so it can be changed, and I have taken the liberty to change certain parts of this, as is the custom of Baptists. They were defenses of the core truths found in the Scriptures themselves, without being exhaustive about the truth that is found in Scripture. To know these claims and defend them seems to be a task that still applies to us today as inheritors of an apostolic and historical Christian faith. Can somebody say amen? End of quote. And so in this series, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to go early today, we have looked at the following factual statements from the Nicene Creed based upon the Word of God. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God. This is information you need to know. Light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. In other words, my beloved God loved you so much that he wrapped himself in flesh and died on Calvary, down at the cross, for you and for me. No one else was around to do it. So God wrapped himself in flesh, left his beautiful throne, and suffered humiliation from men and women like you and me, liars and cheats, whoremongers and whores, rebellious, proud, devilish, mean, hateful people, spitting on God, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, you tell me what kind of love is this. You cannot describe it. You've never seen love like this other than in Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. It is the most amazing story ever told, and it is true. For over 500 witnesses saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. Can somebody say amen? He was seen, and this is the part that God gave me the liberty to add, from the Word of God. Didn't add anything to the Word of God, but I did add something to the Nicene Creed and to the Apostles' Creed. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene. And I included it because this is a part of the gospel that shuts down skeptics and atheists and agnostics and people who like to ask questions. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. Amen, somebody. And so today, my beloved, we will continue looking at the next section of the new Nicene Creed, which reads as follows. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. And now today we're talking about the blessed Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity, whom Jesus promised would come to indwell the first disciples and all who believe on Jesus Christ. I hope that you are saved and that you know the Holy Spirit personally and that he has filled your life. It is the most amazing thing for the Holy Spirit of God to be inside of you. In John 15:26, Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. I get concerned about folk who say they're saved, but there's no holiness going on in their lives. They're not convicted about their sin. They're not convicted about their fornication, their adultery, their little boyfriend or girlfriend on the side. Don't cut me off now. I'm trying to help you. People who can just do anything. Listen to me. When you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit of God and you just can't do anything, you're not going to do it. People who are not bothered by their sin. You can't even, if you're born again and saved, my dear friend, and you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you cannot lie and not be bothered by it. One lie will mess your day up. You can't even think of something evil and ungodly, and it does not trouble you. If you're not asking yourself, now why am I thinking about that? You can't look at stuff that you know is evil and wrong, such as pornography, and not be convicted about it. You see, this is why I'm not worried about people so-called being addicted to Christians, pastors being addicted to pornography. You're not addicted to anything if you're truly saved and born again. You have the power within you. Now, you may choose to look at it, but I assure you, if you're born again, you're bothered by that. You're troubled. It disturbs you. You're convicted. I'm also bothered and concerned about Christians who say they can do anything they want. They have liberty to do whatever they want to do. And now that they're saved, they can do whatever they want. They can keep on sinning. See, that never entered into my mind after I got saved. Nobody had to tell me that. The Holy Spirit of God will instruct you from the time you're saved. See, and what we have in many churches today are people who have never been born again. You know why there's so much hell in families today? Because husbands and wives do not obey the Holy Word of God written by the Holy Spirit. A husband who disobeys the Word of God consistently, every day, hating his wife, hating the family life, wanting to get out of it all the time, the wife who does not respect her husband, does not reverence her husband, for 20, 25, 30 years, there's something wrong somewhere. Because if you're born again, if you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there will be a difference. Now, there is a growing process. But after a while, by and by, you are held accountable by God himself. Because not only did he die for your sins, was buried and rose again, he gave you himself. He gave you the power of the Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, do right, obey his word. And even if you're not that knowledgeable of his word, he will tell you what you ought to do. The Holy Spirit is so into you doing the right thing that when you're praying, he will bring people before your face. Their image will come in your mind's eye that you need to get right with. Basically, he's saying don't try to talk to God until you get right with your brother or your sister. Amen, somebody. So who is the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked that question. And unfortunately, I cannot answer it today. I will answer it tomorrow if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. I have to go to another meeting. But before I go, dear friend, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Have you had this experience where you have trusted Christ as Savior and you are different? Meaning, before you met Christ, you can sin. In fact, You thought, like me, it was a sin not to sin. You thought, like me, it was a sin not to go after those women. We call men like that little punks who didn't go after all these beautiful women. You got to get it, get it, get it. But after you got saved, you don't have that mindset anymore. You might be tempted, but you're convicted also, and that will help stop you from doing foolishness and sin. Have you been born again? If you have been born again, you know it. If you have met, you cannot meet Jesus and not know you met him. It's impossible. That's impossible. So if you have never met Jesus Christ as your Savior today, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved. Just understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Death is bad, people. Okay? Death is not good. It was never meant to be. And when you, because of sin in our lives and our sinfulness, we die. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. And hell is a real place. Your unbelief does not change the fact that there is a hell. The loving, meek, and lowly one, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel with us, Emmanuel means God with us, said these words, and he preached a whole lot on hell. In fact, he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, not because he hates his creation, but because he loves us. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a dark place. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of torture for sins. And the saddest part of hell, my dear friend, is that it never ends. You can never get out once you go in. So repent of your sins. Trust Christ as your Savior. Pray and ask him to save you. Hell is bad news, but I have good news for you. The words of Jesus Christ himself when he said in John 3:16, here is the gospel in a nutshell. If you didn't get anything else I said, get this. For God so loved the world, that includes you. Doesn't matter what you have done, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Even if you are a homosexual, you can be saved today. Even if you are an adulterer, an adulteress, a thief, even if you are on death row, you can be saved today. For God so loved the world. That includes you. Believe on Christ and trust him as your Savior today. And pray and ask him to save you. For here is God's promise for you. Romans 10:9-13. This is what got me. December the 19th, 1979. These are the words that I preached 3 days later. In the rain and in the cold. In New Orleans, Louisiana. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. If you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer or the prayer of salvation. Mean it from your heart. Receive Christ into your heart as the free gift that he is from God. You don't have to pay any money to get saved. You don't have to help anybody or do good works to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to be a member of a church to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. All you have to do is trust Christ as Savior, and he will lead you and guide you to do what you need to do. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments through lying, dishonesty, stealing, lusting after people and things, being envious of others and their things, taking your holy name in vain, dishonoring and disobeying my parents. I understand that I deserve to go to hell forever. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me, Lord, of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations. Yes, contrary to what some preachers will tell you, it's just that simple and just that, yes, easy. It wasn't easy for God. It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ. But why would God make it hard for such ignorant and wicked people as we are? He made it easy for us to get saved. That's the kind of God we serve. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material to help you grow that we want to send to you free of charge. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And we love you, and may God bless you real good. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.